Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're here to join us on this edition. The phone lines are open, and we welcome your call right now for Bible questions or personal issues. That number, 844-322-2742, and we encourage you not to hesitate. Just jump on, because someone with the same issue or question that you have will be blessed by the answers that you hear. By calling and posing your question, you can have a ministry in other people's lives, so people you don't even know. So call that number, 844-322-2742. And that's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Glad you're with us today, and glad you, our listeners, are with us as well. We have a great program. We're going to talk about Romans chapter 6 today and this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. But before we got new life, we had to go through death. That's the story of the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And God doesn't let death kind of interfere with his plan. He actually takes us through death to the other side. And here's the good news. The law has nothing to say about resurrection. It has nothing to say about that new life that we have on the other side of death.
Right.
Now, this is a pattern that we see in the Word of God. I mean, you go back to the book of Genesis, you look at Genesis 6, and you see that every thought of man was evil only, and so God decided to destroy the world with a flood, and he saw favor in Noah, and he said, I want you to build this ark, and I want you and your family to be a part of that, and I want you to take animals two by two onto this ark. And so that's what he did. Everybody probably thought he was crazy. But then a time came and the flood waters started to come down and the waters started to rise up. And everything, as the scripture says, everything that had life in it, living breath, died, right, except for those who were in the ark. Well, that ark was in the water, and that water was the symbol of death. And so that ark came through death.
Yeah.
That's what it symbolizes. Well, when the waters dried up and dry land, Noah sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove, and he sent out this dove a couple of times, and it came back, and he knew that wasn't the time to open up that ark door, and so he sent it out again, and the dove came back with a little piece of an olive branch,
right,
and then he sent it out a third time, and the dove never came back. Well, that symbolized that it was time for Noah and his family to break forth into new life, into this new new experience after death,
yeah,
after that judgment.
Right.
And so that was a pattern. We also see it in the story of the Exodus, where the people of Israel are standing right in front of the Red Sea, and if they go forward, that is instant death for them. Mm-hmm. And they have the Egyptian army coming up from behind. And so what does God do? He lifts Moses' arms, and those waters part, and they cross through. So they cross through on dry land, but they go through death and they come out on the other side. Well, that's exactly what happens with us when we believe Jesus. So here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So we've gone through death. That's exactly what Paul is saying there, that we have died to sin. And then he goes on to say, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So we were placed into his death. So we have come through death with Jesus. Now we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Mm-hmm. So here's the story. Jesus Christ died. He came out on the other side fully alive. He was resurrected on that third day. when we believe the good news concerning Jesus, we are placed into Christ. We were baptized into his death. So we journey with Christ through death. We come out the other side, raised to walk in the newness of life. And Paul goes on to say, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So we have come through death through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where the good news story began. So that old way of life has come to an end. The law has been totally fulfilled in us. The law said the wages of sin is death. We died in Christ. Now we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So we've come through death. Now we're on the other side. And now we have an entirely new life altogether. A life not ruled by the law, not mastered by sin, but a life that is led by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, and fueled by the very grace of God that saved us. So folks, you have come through death. Everything the law could say about you, it said. Everything the law could do as far as punishment is concerned, it did. So there's nothing more that the law can do as far as you are concerned. Why? Because you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And there's a whole different rule of life as far as that newness of life is concerned. It's called the new covenant. So you've come through death. You're on the other side. You're raised to walk in the newness of life. So what does that tell us to do? Quit thinking about that old life. Quit thinking about sin. Start concentrating on this new life that you have in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And what a life it is. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you, and that number, 844-322-2742, is open right now, and plenty of lines. If you'd like to fill them up, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742, if you have Bible questions or if you have some personal issue you'd like to discuss. Well, this is the time to call straight into the studio, 844-322-2742. And friends, we've said it many times. Thank you for your support of the message of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ that you hear every weekday through this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. And with your gift today, we'll say thank you once again by sending you a copy of Bob's excellent and insightful book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. You will be blessed through its pages, I'm sure of that. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Your copy awaits your donation right now at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, Bob, I just wanted to say something about Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. That book has been on the market since 2015, so it's been out there for a number of years, and I'm sure many of our listeners already have a copy, and that's wonderful, and I am so glad and pleased about that. And some of you may be reluctant to request another copy because you've already got this copy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, request another copy, mm-hmm. and request it and share it with somebody you know.
Yeah.
One of the best ways that we have available to us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ is to do so through resources, to put a book in somebody's hand. And maybe they're not going to read it right off the bat. Maybe they'll hold on to it for a while. But there'll be a time when they'll open it and they'll start reading it.
Yeah.
And they will be sucked into it. It's like, wait, I want to read more. I want to find out more. And they will start to see what this gospel is all about. So if you have a copy, go ahead and go to basicgospel.net. Make a contribution to Basic Gospel. Request a second copy. Maybe you've bought caseloads in the past. Well, here's an opportunity to get more of these books so that you can put more of these books in people's hands. If we want to see this grace of God grow, if we want to see this grace of God reach more and more people, here's a great way that you can participate, that you can actually put something of value into another person's hands and encourage them to read it and leave the results of that to God.
Again, go to basicgospel.net and make your donation. And again, when you do, request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and share it with a friend, as Bob said, if you already have a copy. Well, again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. That's good at the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had this question from James, who wrote to us from Palmdale, California. It says, are most professing Christians today saved, or is there only a remnant that is truly saved?
Well, James, that's a great question, and we just don't have the ability to make that call. We just don't know who's saved and who's not saved. What we need to do is make an assumption that everybody needs to hear the gospel. So we've seen this happen, haven't we, Bob? And time again, when somebody calls, and we'll ask them point blank right at the beginning of a call, so you're a Christian, and they'll say yes. Mm-hmm. And so we'll not assume anything. We just take their answer for what it is, and then we'll go into an explanation of the gospel. So you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he took them all away once and for all. You believe that he was buried, and then on that third day he was raised to life, and that in being raised to life he's come to give you new life. And oftentimes they'll hear that and they say, no, I never knew that.
Right, yeah.
I've never heard that full message like that. I just knew he died on a cross, and I'm not really sure exactly what that means. So a lot of times they'll tell you right up front that they're Christians. And for them, it could mean that they grew up in a Christian church. They were confirmed as a member of the church in the third grade, like I was, or something like that. But they have no idea what the gospel message really is. And they have no idea what faith in Jesus is all about.
Right.
And so you explain the fullness of the message. You lay it out there in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes you will see a presentation like that connect to that person's heart, and they'll say, I want that.
Yes.
I want that. And like I said, I can't tell you how many times throughout our history that we've seen somebody come to Christ, somebody go from death to life through faith in Jesus, who said at the beginning of the call that they were already a Christian.
Right.
And then in hearing the gospel, they realized, ooh, no, I'm not. I'm not. So I think in conversations that we have with people, and Paul did this throughout his ministry, he assumed nothing. He just simply said, I'm here to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and I want to share that with you. And I know you're a Christian, and so let's just rejoice in this shared faith. And here's what I've come to understand about it. And as you explain that, then they're going to agree and say, yes, I know Jesus as my life. He's come to live inside of me. Or they're going to scratch their heads and say, wow, that's foreign to me, and tell me more. So you always have a great opportunity to help somebody grow in grace, or to connect somebody to Jesus's life, just by explaining the good news of Jesus. So it's a win-win either way.
Yeah. Well, James, thanks for reaching out. Hope that helps you to understand the situation. And if you have further questions, of course, don't hesitate to reach out. Once again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. Give us a call and let us discuss your question or your situation with you, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk to our good friend, Frida. Hi, Frida.
Hey, Frida.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is, a couple of nights ago, I had a very bad experience, a very bad dream, and it's resulted in me not being able to sleep in my bedroom because it just brings back these, you know, the vivid memories of the dream. But the one part, like after the dream, like I was laying on my stomach, and I felt like there was like a presence like on my back. Like I felt the pressure on my back, and I remember trying to say, like, you know, get off of me, but I couldn't, like, I said in my mind, but I couldn't move my mouth. And some people said it was like sleep paralysis, but I was able to, like, move my shoulders and, you know, to kind of, like, flick whatever it was off of me. But my question is, what is, like, is it demonic oppression? Like, did I open up a door to something? And if you could just please pray for me, because I know I can't keep sleeping out here on my couch, but when I go into my bedroom at night, it just gives me anxiety, and it's like turning into paranoia. So,
do you feel like you're going to have that dream again and that same experience?
I'm afraid to fall into a deep sleep because I'm afraid that I'm going to feel that presence again. And so I haven't really been sleeping the last four nights. So.
Well, Frida, you know, that's exactly where the enemy wants you, in a state of fear. He wants you to be afraid. That's what happened to Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden. They were afraid and they hid themselves from God. Now, it wasn't God that put that fear in them. It was Satan himself. It was sin. So I think we have to realize that God is not the author of fear. He's not the author of confusion. So you have to recognize the source of that. The source of that is the enemy himself. Now, you know that you're more than a conqueror through Christ. You know that there's nothing and no one that can accuse you. If Christ has justified you, then no one has a case against you. So you stand in that victory. That's the armor of God that we have. And I think, Frida, it's like, hey, I had this really bad experience. I have no earthly idea what it was. It could have been demonic activity. We just don't know for sure. Some people would probably say, yes, that's exactly what it was. But we do know that there's something of the enemy there, because you're living in fear. And he's the one that's bringing that about. So I think we have to stand up and say, you know, Satan, you can try all you want. You can do anything that you can, but nothing is going to take me out of the very hands of Jesus, and nothing is going to take me out of the hands of God. So every time that you try to put this fear in me, I'm going to take it as an opportunity to get down on my knees and thank the Lord Jesus for his death on the cross and for his presence in me. And I am going to take that as an opportunity to say, thank you that the one who lives in me is greater than the one that is out there in the world. So you use those things, you know, those very weapons that Satan has, you use them against him by letting those weapons he has turn your eyes back to Jesus. So, I mean, what the enemy wants is for you to pay a lot of attention to what that dream was, to what those feelings were that you had. He wants you to relive those vividly. And so he's going to do everything he can to fix your attention, to fix your mind on that event. And I think you just take the power right out of it and just say, hey, it was just a bad dream. I've got Christ living in me, and I'm going to rest in him, and I am going to let him take this fear and just cast it away. And I think that's how you render those events powerless in your life.
So, really quick, is when you say about sin, so was it something that I did?
No, we're not going to go there, Frida. Oh. That's what I'm saying. We don't want to go there.
I'm
Why? Because God has already taken away your sins. So you there was something that happened. You had a bad dream, and then you had a feeling of oppression. I've had that feeling. I've had that where I've just felt paralyzed, where I had that pressure on my chest, just pressing down, and you feel like you can't move. I've had that, but I haven't paid that much attention to it. It's just something that happened. I could try to dig into it and try to figure out the causes and the whys and the therefores and all of this, but that's not going to do me any good. That's just going to stir up that fear. That's just going to make me more fearful, and that's exactly where the enemy would want me, and that's exactly where the enemy wants you. So I think, Frieda, you render that event, what happened, powerless by allowing that event to turn your eyes to Jesus and to say, hey, I'm thanking you, Jesus, that you've taken away all my sins, that I'm forgiven, that there's no one that can accuse me, that in you there's no condemnation. I'm standing on that truth. I'm standing on that promise. I thank you that I'm righteous, that you have given me your righteousness. I thank you that you are alive, living in me, and that whatever the enemy tries to bring, you're there to protect me, to guard my mind and my heart, and to bring me peace that passes understanding. So I am trusting you with that. So that's how you just rip the power right out of those events, and as Paul said, take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. And that's God's Spirit will be working in you to do that. But don't go back and try to relive that event. Don't try to figure out all the details of it. God's already won the victory.
Yeah, I understand all that, and I guess when I understand about the saying, all I got victory in Christ, I'm the righteousness of Christ, I'm protected by Christ, but in a situation sometimes I just feel like a scared little girl who all that stuff, that fear just comes upon me, and I just want to be able to know that I can go into not fear, that I can't go into a deep sleep. I don't want to be afraid of sleeping in my bedroom again. That's the only reason why I'm trying to understand what was going on. People talk about, I don't know what.
Well, I'm just here to tell you, Frieda. I'm just here to tell you, Frieda, the more you try to dissect this thing and figure it out, the deeper that fear is going to get. So if you want to break that fear inside of you, start looking to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like I said, we can. There are people that try to dissect their flesh and figure out every aspect of their flesh and want to know all about their flesh, and pretty soon that's all they think about, and then pretty soon that's all they're doing is giving in to the patterns of the flesh. And they're wondering why they can't experience victory. Well, the Bible tells us to think on things that are honorable, think on things that are true, and that's your victory, is to let your mind go to the things that are true, not to try to dissect this problem, because you know there's already a solution in Jesus. So go direct to the solution in Jesus and rest in him. Okay, Frieda?
Thank you.
You're welcome, and keep us posted, okay? We'll be praying along with you, and I know we've got all of Basic Gospel Nation hearing your story. They're going to be praying for you as well, so recognize that as a part of your victory. We're all standing together with you.
Take care, Frieda. Let us hear from you. Well, friends, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that we need your support to keep this message on the air and online. Please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as we said earlier, as you do, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, whether you've got one already or not. Request his excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and share it with a friend. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, as Frieda did, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and I will give you a response on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow with us for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.